Welcome to VI Talk, sharing ideas, information, and support.
Hi everyone, it's Jo, and I have with me Dawn.
Hello.
And it's a pleasure to introduce for the first time on VI Talk, Chris Skelly. Hi, Chris.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Hi, Chris.
Hi, Dawn.
Hi,
you?
You're right. I'm fine, thank you.
Good, thank you.
Okie dokie. So let's start. Do you want to tell us a little bit about yourself, Chris? Do you want to tell us a little bit? I know you're visually impaired. You've got a little bit of vision, haven't you? So do you want to tell us a little bit about kind of your life so far?
So I am a Paralympic judo fighter. I competed in Rio in 2016. I have the visual impairment of occultaneous albinism. Which is a condition that I am affected by light. I'm not very good in the dark. And the strain that I have makes me have really bad vision as well, with the genetic makeup of it and how it's made up. So I'm not very good seeing long distance or even short distance. I have to use everything on my iPad. I've got my magnifying glass. I'm just going through cane training. So that's where I am at the moment. I'm originally from Hull, but I'm based at the Centre of Excellence, where the Paralympic team is based, alongside with the Olympic team. And it's the only programme in the whole of, I think, Great Britain and possibly the world that is the only integrated programme around. So we're very lucky to be training here.
That's fabulous. That is
where's that based?
Based in Birmingham, Walsall. Really? It's Walsall, but it's a suburb of Birmingham. Mm-hmm. And it's at the Wolverhampton University.
That's really interesting that it's the only one of its kind, isn't it?
I've not heard of any other sports that are integrated.
Right.
We are, so we're very lucky.
Yeah. And how long has it been integrated, Chris? Do you know?
Well, this centre where I train has been open since 2013. And ever since it's been open, the Paralympic and Olympic team have been training together.
That's really, really good to hear. Yeah, isn't it?
Yeah, it's really, really, really nice to be setting the standards.
Yeah.
For that sort of stuff.
Definitely. You must be very proud of that you're all together and training together and everything.
Yeah, it's really nice.
Mm. So how did you get into judo?
So I got into it when I was five. I've done it nearly 21 years now, and I just did it just to do a bit of fun. And because I was really quite slow at school, my mum and dad were really scared about me socializing and me becoming quite isolated, because I've been deaf all my life and I've always had vision problems, but throughout life it's got worse with my vision, but my hearing's already been there. So they were very worried I'd be cut off and struggling to communicate. So these kind of stuck me in a deep end and made me kind of figure out a way to communicate. And then I did judo just for fun, and I made a lot of friends. My best friend of 20 years did it alongside me, Liam Wilson, who I had still talk to him about it now. He stopped doing judo, but I carried it on. And then really I just carried it on through school. I carried it on when I started work, and then when my vision got really bad, in my later teens, and I had to, because I was learning how to drive, I was learning to become a mechanic, and it got quite severe in later life, in my teens, I lost everything, and I lost me learning how to drive, I lost my job, I lost everything. Everything I worked for and worked really hard for was took out of my hands. But the only one constant thing in my life was judo. And I always say this, in my darkest part of my life, where I was struggling so much and no one was giving me any answers, and I was struggling to figure out things to do in my day, the one constant thing that kept me kind of sane was judo. And I'll always be grateful to the sport, because it brought me out of a really dark place in my life. And I'm very lucky to be doing it now as a job. And I love doing a sport, and I'll always be grateful for the sport. So that's where I am now, really.
Going into judo, how do you manage to learn the moves with your visual impairment? I should imagine it's quite tactile, obviously.
Yeah. So judo is one of the sports that is quite easy to learn because it's all with feel. You don't have to use a lot of your sight. So it's very easy to start as well, because all you need is a judo gi, and a lot of the clubs in Britain should know how to teach visually impaired judo, because it's been the last 3 or 4 years has been a big push on trying to get more people into visually impaired judo. And with judo, the only difference between Olympic judo and Paralympic judo is that we start on the grip, so we always have contact with the opponent, so we never lose contact. And it's all to do with feel and the way to move, and you have to be really kind of, as you said, tactile in the way where you feel. So yeah, judo is quite easy to learn because it's a lot of feeling.
That's great. It sounds like it's something. Could anybody of any age, do you think, get involved with it? You know, if they just wanted to do it for something, like you say, something social, a way of keeping fit. Would you think anybody of any age could sort of get interested in it?
Judo of any age, with vision impairment, with any. I know someone with one leg doing judo.
Really?
Because it does cover all disabilities, and it's so easy to learn as well, because a lot of people forget that judo's to do with feel. So you don't need your eyes. You could when I originally started, before I got my contact lens, I was totally blindfolded. I used to fight people just through feel. And it really your hands become your eyes. And you can feel the way that people move, and you feel little movements in when they're moving. So judo is very easy. And anyone of any age, I know people who started at the age of 40 and they're doing it recreational. I know people who started like me at the age of 5. You know, it is such a brilliant sport, A, to socialise with other people. And also, you know, I've met other people with vision impairment on the kind of the tour of the world, and you make friends for life. So I'm very lucky to be doing what I'm doing.
Yeah, it sounds like you absolutely love it, which you need to, don't you, when you're doing it day in, day out. How often do you train, Chris? How sort of what's the regime?
So I train five to 7 days a week. Depends on what the weekend holds, because we usually train Monday to Friday. And if there's any camps over the weekend, we stay and train Saturday, Sunday as well. But we train maybe 2 or 3 times a week. I'd say I train in Birmingham at the Centre for Excellence, and it's an integrated program. So I train alongside the Olympic team, and there's no different way we're treated. We're treated the same, but we have a little bit more help in certain areas. And we actually, as I say, we set the standards for some of the Olympic teams. So we're trying to change barriers and make people think differently about people with vision impairments.
Do you teach it at all as well, or are you just competitive? Or?
I do like coaching. When I go back to Hull, I go to my local Hull Pride Judo Club, and I teach the kids a bit of judo, or I do odd master classes here and there, and I teach people how I do judo through a vision impaired person's way, and how I feel a lot more, and a lot of mine is to, sometimes I close my eyes when I fight, because my eyes, there's so much light coming into my eyes, it kind of freaks me out a bit, so I just close my eyes and I fight closed eyes sometimes, which I prefer. So I do teach people as well sometimes how to do that. And then I recently just started, in some of my sessions which I coach, I make people, you put blindfolds on and they have to feel. So yeah, I love coaching as well. I love trying to get the word out there and how people with vision impairment can also do judo. And you know, I'm very lucky to be training with Olympic people and like actually push them. So some people don't even realize I'm visually impaired because I'm matching them. So yeah, I'm very lucky to be what I'm doing.
Brilliant. What would you say to somebody who perhaps was thinking about it, whatever age, but perhaps a young person who's thinking about it and, you know, not quite sure, what would you say to them? Because it really has been a lifesaver for you, hasn't it? It sounds like it, like you say, it's brought you out of your darkest time. What would you say to somebody?
I'd say, like, I think the biggest thing is like, when you see judo, it's quite a physical sport, but actually don't be scared, go and give it a go. Even though I am vision impaired, and most of my team are vision impaired as well, all my team vision impaired and one's fully blind, we still give it a go. And don't be scared, you know, because a lot of people get scared and shall I do it, shall I not, and just give it a go. What can go wrong, you know? And I always think you've got to be positive, and just since what happened to me in my later teens and suffering with what's happened to me, it's made me a bigger person. So I go and try stuff, and that's through doing judo. And I think anyone who wants to give judo a try, go and give it a go. You know, you've got nothing to lose. It might not be your sport, but you've had a go, and you've met new people, and you've enjoyed yourself, and you've had a socialise. And that's what I'd say to people: just enjoy yourself and have a go, and don't be scared, because a lot of people are scared to do certain things because they're visually impaired and because they are lacking sight. But scrap that, just go for it. You know, and what can go wrong?
Can you tell us a bit about your experience at the Olympics and what that was like? What was good? What was
I was very lucky to go to Paralympics in 2016, and it was one of the best experiences of my life. I always laugh about it because that's the first time I've had 6,000 people boo me after my name being called out. The best experience. I looked at my coach, and at first I was really scared, and we just started laughing because this is such a surreal thing that happened to me in my life. Like, I'm going to say, like 10 years ago, well, 10 years ago, I was 13, I was at school. I'd never think I'd be at a Paralympic Games representing my country at the highest level I can. So, yeah, it was the most surreal time in my life. And hopefully when I go back to Tokyo, touch wood, I can do one better and get a medal this time, because it was a big heartache for me not getting a medal. But I personally think it made me a bigger person. It made me maybe grow up a lot more as an athlete and made me want to work even harder to get to that next level. So hopefully I get to Tokyo this year and get to experience that again.
Wow, fabulous. So, yes, Olympic,
experience. Must be an amazing experience.
Oh, but it's honestly, when my name was called out and I had 6,000 people boo me, it was the best, it was the funniest, but most surreal time. And then when I, because I sadly lost to the Brazilian, which is really sad, but then after that, everyone started cheering me. So it was a bit like, what? I'd become a baddie into a goodie. I was stood there. I was like, "Is this happening?" Like, people started cheering me in my medal fight. I was just like, "This is surreal." You know, and it goes so quickly because judo's all in one day. So, minute you're like you do 4 years of training and then it's done in a day, and then you're just lost for like a full 2 weeks in the village. So yeah, it is very funny.
So you have very a nice fun. Little holiday out of it as well, really.
Usually judo is done in the first few days, so you actually get about 2 weeks relaxing and actually go and watch other sports and trying other stuff. And the village is amazing because there's free everything, so everything's free in the village. The only problem is when you come home, you forget everything's not free, so you walk out of shop with something in your hand, and then someone comes and gets you, like, oh my god, and they have to explain to them what happened, and they're usually quite good. Yeah, that's quite surreal.
So Olympic year this year. So what's the plan for you? I know obviously lots and lots of training, but how does it get decided who goes?
So you first have to qualify in the world ranking list. For me, my category is top 7. I'm doing okay at the moment, so I'm in a very good position. But then also the BPA have to pick you. So you might qualify, but the BPA might not want to take you. So you still might not even go, even though you qualified it. You know, you have to represent the country in the best possible way. I will find out. I think it's June time that we find out if we're on the team or not. So cross fingers I'll be on the team and on that plane to Tokyo. And then in April 11th to the 12th, we have the Vriai Grand Prix at Nottingham University. It's this qualification event for Tokyo. So if anyone's listening to this podcast, please come down and support me and my fellow teammates on our journey to Tokyo.
Oh, brilliant. Well, you'll have to keep us posted. You'll have to email us with updates and things, and then we can put it out there and let people know so they can
we love as much support as we can get for me and the team, because you know, it's a big year, not just for me, but for the rest of my teammates who've also gone through difficulties of their own to get there. So, it's a special moment.
How is it all funded and things? Or do you have to?
It's all funded by UK Sports. UK Sport give judo a grant or money. And they provide, the athletes have to reach certain targets to APA funding. And so that's how you run. So the centres run off UK Sport funding money, which we're very grateful for, and it really helps people to get around the world and to train with the best possible people. And the Paralympic team are well supported by UK Sport. I'm very grateful for their support, because I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing without their support.
How many people are in the team, Chris?
So at the moment, it's the kind of what we call like the main team. There's only about five of us. Well, four at the moment who's in direct qualification. But next week we go to the German Open, which is like a little event, which is a VI German event, which is held every year. And a lot of the development team, like the youngsters are coming through, will come on it. So next week we'll have a team of about 13. So the team is growing, which is good, but it could be better. You know, some countries have double the number we have. And so we want to kind of get up there and get it out there.
Right. Well, hopefully this will go some way to helping get the word out there, encourage some younger people to get involved.
Yeah, it'd be great to have you guys down.
Very interesting. Fabulous.
Yeah, very.
You see me and Joe doing it now, can you, Joe?
No, God.
Well, you never know. You never know. You never know. Never say never.
I think I'm way better.
I could do with something to keep fit. I could really.
I think my kicking my legs up and everything else is gone by now. Well, amazing.
Thank you.
Very well
ever,
done.
Thank you ever so much, Chris, for sharing your story with us. And absolutely well done for what you've achieved so far. Yeah. And the best of luck. And please keep us posted, because we'll be cheering all the way, won't we?
Oh, thank you.
Absolutely.
Sorry, just this is it. It's not Team GB, because a lot of people get confused. Paralympics GB, if you do hashtag anything.
Just
want to let you know that, because we've had a lot of issues. I've had a lot of issues with people saying hashtag Team GB. It's not, because it's Paralympics GB. So I just thought.
Because everyone always says Team GB, don't they? So hashtag Paralympics GB.
Paralympics GB.
So we can follow that on Twitter, can't we? Then
a lot of people can follow that on Twitter, and follow British Judo as well, and you'll see a lot of the team out there as well.
Brilliant.
Thank you very much for giving your time up. It's really appreciated, and I wish you all the best luck in the world.
Oh, thank you very much. But thank you for having me, and it's such an honour to be on this podcast.
It's an absolute pleasure. Thanks Chris.
Thanks very much.
Thank you.
And we'll speak to you again soon.
Yeah, bye-bye. Speak to you again soon, and thank you.
All right. Bye.
Bye-bye. Bye.
You can contact us by emailing podcast@vitalk.co.uk, on Facebook by searching for VI Talk, on Twitter @VITalkPodcast, and our website address is www.vitalk.co.uk.